Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more of the Instigators presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Okay. Let's get at it. Darren Dreger joins the Instigators right here Fridays at 11:30. And although there's no actual games to talk about, we have hockey discussion to be had. First and foremost, good morning, Dregs. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Lovely blanket of snow, and the snow continues to fall here in southern Ontario. So it's not that lake effect snow like you guys get in Buffalo, though, but it's still refreshing. It just cleanses everything.
Yes, I read this morning that you are a lover of snow.
I am. I do.
Yeah.
From my West Canadian roots. I'm older than you guys, so I remember a time when you'd flip on the TV by hand, manually. There was no remote. There was no clicker. And you'd have 2-3 channels. And we didn't have video games. So what were we going to do? You know, we had to go outside. So I used to get my old Massey Ferguson. Guys, I had a Massey Ferguson snowmobile when I was like 10 years old. And I would fire that baby up and... Well, early October for sure, just praying for snow. It went about 25 miles per hour. That was full throttle for the old Massey Ferguson, but I loved every second of it.
You know what? That's the most Canadian I've ever heard you sound right there. And not only that, Dregs, what would have just topped it all off is if you said kilometers per hour.
No. I know my market. Well, PD, at least not my first rodeo here.
Yeah, no, I definitely appreciate that. Darren Dreger on the line, TSN Hockey Insider. You know what? We'll get to all the business stuff, but some entertainment stuff in hockey. Are you finding the Evander Kane stuff at all worthwhile? Laughing at, looking at, reading. How are you handling that one?
I mean, the only thing redeeming about it for me is that obviously there's got to be a charitable connection here, right? If they're raising money to go to a good cause, then do what you got to do. I can appreciate that. Aside from that, no, I'm not entertained by it even a little bit. I don't understand why a non-boxing professional athlete would want to engage in any fashion. I don't know. I don't really care who it is. Like, you know, of course, Evander Kane is a superior athlete. And I don't know Logan Paul from a hole in the ground, and probably will never get to know the person. But what if he gets a lucky throat punch in or something like that and actually does some damage? Or worse, he does some damage and Evander Kane loses. then what happens? You know, aside from, again, charity winning in this case, how does that make Evander Kane look? I don't understand why Evander Kane is engaging in this. I like the rivalry, because I think it's legit between Kane and Ryan Reeves of the Vegas Golden Knights. That's old school stuff, right? With a new school social media twist to it. I got lots of time for that. I find that entertaining, but this kind of stuff, I don't know, just speaks to me that Evander Kane is a little bored buying into this stuff with Paul.
Darren Dreger on the line, clearly with that answer. Reeks of one thing, just intelligence. You're just an intelligent man. Speaking of intelligence, it requires a lot of intelligence to figure out what's going on with the NHL and the NHLPA. If you can put together all the pieces of the economic side of it, the return to play and the games and the escrow and all of that stuff. I mean, where are you on all of this? It's a pretty easy way to lay it to you. And can you make sense of everything? And what is it going to take to get hockey back mid-January?
Well, I'm going to have to take a deep breath for this one, because it's a convoluted process. But let's begin with where the day began. And that was a report from our colleague Frank Cervelli on Twitter, acknowledging that there's progress made in communications between the NHL and the NHLPA in terms of starting to whittle down the scenarios of what 2020-21's regular season could look like. And as Frank has reported, the two sides are looking at a 56-game regular season, and that's of interest. And I think, as we've discussed before, the low point would be 48. That's the threshold, because that's happened twice historically. I can't imagine the NHL or the players want to go below that. I've heard 52 thrown out there in the last couple of days, but 56 seems to be the target. So what's healthy about that? What's healthy about that is, you know, even though the two sides haven't found common ground on the financial framework and the amendments, the changes that Commissioner Bettman is expecting from the players, at least they're communicating and they're dealing with the logistics. So that tells me that either the NHL is coming back to the players with something that they can actually consider from a financial perspective, and they want to make sure that they've got all the other stuff tidied up so that the final piece of the puzzle before they hit that button that flashes the green light saying go is the financial stuff. So I'm encouraged by the fact that, you know, the conversations that they had this week, more recently yesterday, led them to a point where they're starting to hammer out what the scenarios will look like.
Craig, when they talk about 56 games or 52, they want to give themselves a buffer zone in May to maybe be able to make up some games that may have to be canceled, like the NFL and the Major League Baseball have done, where there's going to be some cases. COVID is still a big part of the pandemic right now. So are we thinking of playing 16, 17 games a month, you know, when it starts? Is that the rate as to which the league wants to go, and the players would be okay with that?
Yeah, I don't know that they've gotten down to the nitty-gritty of that and the specifics of that yet, Marty, but, you know, that has to be the next round of this discussion. And I'm sure Steve Hatzepetros, who manages the matrix of the schedules for the National Hockey League, already has that in the hands of the commissioner's office. But obviously it's going to be a condensed schedule. You're not going to see bye weeks. You are going to see back-to-backs. But we don't know how that's going to look until we know, again, how these teams are going to play one another. You know, is there going to be a place where COVID-19, you know, loosens a bit so that the NHL can play in every venue? And in certain states, certain cities, you know, there are fans, at least some fans, allowed into that building. If you're playing in venues across the National Hockey League, and now I'm talking about U.S. venues here because Canada is a completely different beast with a federal restriction, you could see a baseball type of approach where you are playing back-to-backs. Well, you'd have to. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense, right? You know, you're not going to have one team travel to another team's facility, play one game, and then that, you know, both teams come back and you play in your own barn. You'd play back-to-backs, and then you'd move on to another city, and maybe you play back-to-backs there. So all of that kind of stuff still has to be sorted through. But that's more COVID-related in terms of the specifics of what that schedule would look like. I know that the league, you know, really feels strongly that they've got to get that Stanley Cup handed out as early as possible. And it'll likely be in July so that, again, with vaccines and all of that, you know, the 21-22 season then looks normal and everything associated with the National Hockey League can get back into its original calendar and normal routine.
I think we should just get back to what we did in the minors years ago and play Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and let's go home.
That's not a terrible idea.
No, it would be in healthy times, obviously, because I remember, you know, pushback from the American Hockey League, to your point, Ribs. And it wasn't so much the players or those who were in the American League. It was more the general managers of the NHL teams who could see that they're killing those kids at that level, like playing three games in three nights. And sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, but there could be an afternoon game in there as well, right? So
most definitely, yep.
This,
yep.
Yeah, if you're doing that, man, I mean,
Dregs,
this is the year.
Is this where the American Hockey League comes in? Is this where they have, you know, we call them the aces, you know, the guys that are going to be practicing with the team? Is there going to be a
squad?
The taxi squad. Is there going to be a significant number of those play? Like, is the American Hockey League playing this year?
Well, they're planning on playing this year, and I can tell you that's an important issue for NHL teams, right? And then what are those American League teams going to look like? Again, from a Canadian standpoint, it gets more convoluted because, you know, some of the Canadian teams have American-based American League teams, and some of the Canadian teams are fortunate enough to have their American League teams in Canada, which is more convenient if you've got an all-Canadian division. But developmentally speaking, it's a big deal because even though we have talked about the notion of NHL teams carrying a taxi squad if, you know, the American League can't go at its normal full pace, you know, in and of itself, that can be a challenge. You know, how many players are you going to be allowed to carry on a taxi squad? Too many isn't great. You know, you talk to teams during the Stanley Cup playoffs who have unlimited rosters in that sense, and it's not perfect when you're carrying that number of players. And then what do you do with the other players that would normally be playing in the American League? And then it goes lower than that. And I can tell you that there are a lot of NHL clubs, Buffalo, I'm sure, you know, looking at its existing draft class that just came out of here in 2020, you know, wondering where some of these kids are going to play. If you're looking at major junior hockey in Canada, there's no guarantee the Ontario Hockey League is up and running in early February as planned. I just saw, you know, I reported on it last night, the BC Junior League, which would be the cream of the crop among the Tier 2 leagues in Canada, you know, they've essentially had to shut down. And they didn't even get going and they had to shut down. So there are so many big questions when it comes to the layers of development beneath the National Hockey League, and it obviously starts with the uncertainty of the American League.
Absolutely crazy, the domino effect of this.
It really is.
How's it affecting your son? Is he playing? What can they do?
No, he retired. He's done.
Is he not playing anymore? I forget how old our kids are getting, right? I mean, I don't know if he was 17 or 18. What's it doing to hockey in Canada, minor hockey? Like, they're shut down too, right?
Yeah. Well, depending on what region you're talking about here, Petey, I know in near Whitby, Ontario, where I hail from, minor hockey is essentially shut down. You know, again, it just depends geographically on how the regions have been impacted by COVID-19. And I think that speaks to across the country as well. There wouldn't be a spot in Canada, and maybe to some degree across the U.S., and that's pretty broad brush I'm using here, that wouldn't be impacted in some way, shape, or form. And that's where all of this, beyond the professional side, really starts to tug at my heartstrings because, you know, I'm looking at the draft class, NHL draft class for 2021. You know, what if those kids can't play? Like, you know, honestly, like all of these major junior kids, what if there is no Ontario Hockey League season this year? You know, how, as an NHL scouting staff, are you going into that process with an educated account on where this team, this one individual player fits in that class? Like, I felt it was brutal for Alexei Lafreniere and Quentin Byfield and all these great kids that were drafted this year because they were robbed of the multiple experiences from attending the Stanley Cup final as top prospects to going through the combine in Buffalo. You know, the players don't like it, but they like the spectacle of that event, right? And it's an experience that top players should have. It's a part of maturing and developing as a pro player and all of those things. So that was bad enough, but it could get worse if hockey can't get played. And for me, that's much more difficult to digest than, you know, what's happening moving forward with the NHL, because frankly, I believe that there is going to be NHL hockey. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced that there's going to be a 2021 season. We just don't know when it's going to start or how many games they're going to play or officially where they're going to play.
Well said, Dregs. Thanks for your time today. Very well said. Always appreciate your insight and knowledge, and enjoy your week. Hopefully we hear some more good news going forward, and we'll chat with you next Friday.
Yeah, you bet, guys. And I do get the sense that stuff is going to start to happen here in the next few days. So by next Friday, we'll have a lot more to talk about.